This is the Day Zero update for December 4th, 2016. I'm Flip Bonofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And this was a really stacked week. Not only did we see the release of Final Fantasy XV, which we now have in the rearview mirror, both literally and metaphorically, but we also had the Game Awards and PSX and Capcom Cup and pretty much all of the things happened this week.
Well, those just pretty much dominated the news cycle.
Yeah, so
it's really a good thing that very little happened outside of those, because we'd be hosed.
Yeah, already we're probably looking at a 2.5 hour show, so yeah, there's that.
On top of that, we had people drop out right before.
Yeah, because apparently, Georgia does not exist on the internet right now, thanks to AT&T and weather. So, Yeah, that's awesome. So,
yeah, at least Grant debut on the show keeps getting delayed.
Yeah, there's that. But anyways, we might as well get into what we've been doing this week, because other than keeping track of all of that fun stuff that's been coming out, I'm sure some of us have been actually playing some stuff.
Well, you know, the Muse strikes whenever there's a big tournament hitting, and since Capcom Cup was a thing, I've been on Street Fighter V quite a bit. Mostly this morning feasting on Bandwagon Mika players, because I'm a big jerk. As we know, a Mika player won Capcom Cup, Knuckle Do. And whenever something like that happens, you'll see a lot of people who are completely unprepared just try to bandwagon onto that character. And it goes horribly wrong, and jerks like me go in with our mains and just level up.
Yeah.
And just devour everything in sight.
Yeah.
And so that's been a lot of fun. Also, of course, Final Fantasy XIV Heaven's Ward, because that is a game that just continues being awesome. And the build-up to Stormblood has begun and is really, really... I don't want to use a cliche here, but it definitely holds on to you.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot wait for that expansion to come out.
Yeah. But I'm kind of surprised that, you know, Amika actually won the Capcom
Cup. I'm not.
You're not? I mean, she's good. She's good and all, but I'm, like, not surprised in the sense that, you know, she's a bad character. I'm just kind of surprised that it wasn't one of the more common characters, which is a good sign for the game that, you know, we're starting to see.
Well, the cast was generally all really well represented, you know, for a 32-player tournament.
Yeah.
I think Street Fighter V is in a good place right now, and it's only going to get better moving into Season 2.
Yeah, which we'll talk about in a bit later. Yeah, so as for myself, well, I've been playing a little bit of Street Fighter V, but I don't have PS Plus, so I haven't been online. Also come to find out that none of the challenges that you can do work offline. So... Oof. Yeah, they're like...
Oh, yeah, because you have to be signed... Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can be signed in, but they don't work for any of the offline content. So you can't... Oh. You can't, you know, even if you're okay, doing the combos, you won't get
counted. Yeah, you have to be playing a person.
Yeah, because, well, they want you to be playing online. So
they want you playing people.
Yeah. So I've been playing some of that kind of, you know... I really need to get the last three characters from Season 1. I was thinking of buying the Season Pass, and then I'm like, wait a minute. I only have three characters missing, so I might as well...
If you're missing stages, too, that might still come out in your favor.
Yeah, well, I am missing stages, but I don't know how many are represented in the Season Pass.
I would take a look, just to be sure.
Yeah, I'll probably give that a check, because looking at that... Also been playing King of Fighters 14, as we saw the teaser for version 1.10.
Which is playable at PlayStation Experience right now.
Yeah. So I'm just going through getting my character endings, because for some reason I forgot to do that. So just going through and doing that. Still a great game. Yeah, and now that I've taken a little bit more of a critical look at it and compare it to what they're doing with the 1.1, I can see that the game kind of looks a little flat.
Yeah.
So,
and yet it's as good as it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not that it's a bad-looking game. It's just kind of the art style, or, well, more importantly, the shading and the lighting that they used.
Yeah,
it just looks a little lifeless and flat. And now with the 1-1, well, yeah.
They really wanted it to be a 2D game, and it kind of shows that they held on to that mentality maybe longer than they should have throughout this game's development.
Yeah. And now, well, with the upcoming patch, it looks like it's going to be very close. It's going to look very similar to Street Fighter V's art style, which isn't a bad thing to be doing. So, hey, that's good. And I also picked up the port of Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because I'd never bought it before, so this is a good time for me to get in. I'm not going to bother playing this game online. Just, no. This is not going to happen. Because we all know what's going to happen the moment anybody, any one of us goes online, we just get ass raped. That's pretty much how that's going to go.
Yeah, it's the only people that are on there right now, I imagine.
Yeah. So,
like the people in the crowd that freaked the fuck out when they announced that.
Yeah. So there's been that.
Ones who only know two words, Wins and Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's actually a pretty solid port, I have to admit. It's not really an HD remaster as such, even though the game does run in HD. It's still using all the same assets and stuff. So
yeah.
It does look a bit sharper. I think this was more done just to get everything, all the current competitive games up onto the PS4, so, you know, tournament operators don't have to keep swapping systems.
Yeah. Hmm. And that's going to be a recurring theme, I think, for the next year or two.
Yeah.
And they can make a bunch of people off the ones that want the new game.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we'll take $25 from you now, and we'll get $60 when this is out.
Yeah.
And the convenience is worth it, to be honest.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, yeah, and Garo, because Garo.
Yes.
That game still
holds up.
I
get paid Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a shitty wait, but I get paid Wednesday.
Yeah. It's a pretty decent port, so yeah. Check that out. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. How about you, Chris?
So I was checking into some of the other Black Friday games I got. Particularly Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which so far, I got to the first hub area in, I forget what's that, Czech, I think, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And that's very much a really good game. All the sneaky stuff that I like to do, as well as just sit around trying to figure out who to take out first. And they do a good job of fleshing out the areas so that if you're trying to be stealthy, you generally can't get into different parts of the areas to get better views and take guys out silently or other way, though that leaves me with very few stun darts to do that with. It's really good.
Yeah.
Though it's very, very heavy-handed with the whole all lives matter stuff.
Yeah, that was something they probably didn't need to do, but hey.
I've taken it down a notch a little
bit. Yeah.
Still had the same message.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, I was wondering, like, since you've been playing Hitman a lot, do you find that the stealth stuff that you've been doing there carries over to Deus Ex a little bit? Or?
To a degree. Obviously, being in first, it's not super easy to keep track of your surroundings. But they do let you do cover stuff that helps you get more of a third-person view.
Okay.
As far as being compared to Hitman, I would say Hitman does a better job of just being a sandbox of craziness, whereas Deus Ex is more linear. So you don't have as much of like unexpected things to happen other than, whoops, I got spotted by this guy, now everybody's alerted.
Yeah.
And it's time to deal with all these guys.
Yeah.
Which I had that happen in one area, but they just came up in pretty much like one or two ways.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, picked you off, picked you off, picked you off. I really like the sort of ragdoll stuff with that. You can pick up people, like all the other objects, and just throw them. And so it's like I got piles of bodies just flinging them across the floor.
180-pound projectiles.
Yeah, they just go sliding across these sand-covered floors real easy. But yeah, so far so good. Definitely like messing around a little bit in the hub area, trying to see what secrets I can find. And ran into this merchant, and who didn't take kindly to me trying to hack his secret doors while he was standing there. So I need to see if I can get some stun darts and take him and his buddy out and hack in peace. But I did find a weird cult that I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do there. I think I have to go find somebody else because he's a hypnotist, and I have to find his partner and learn more about that. But when you go through with that quest, you go into the special area, and all of a sudden you get like the sort of near-death kind of view on your screen, but it's all yellow. It's like you've been hypnotized.
That's kind of crazy. I am completely gobsmacked that there's hypnotists in any game ever.
And then he's got his cult of people that's like, no, we don't go up the stairs. That's against the rules. I just go up there, and he's got security cameras. I found where he's at. I can see him through little slits in the doors. I just can't get back here because I don't know what the code is or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it was a crazy thing. I just went to the sewers and was like, oh, there's this crazy guy here. Oh, it turns out he's not that crazy. There's just this cult leader hidden here in the sewers. But that game is pretty good. And sort of along the same path, I checked out Doom. I was hoping to play it last night, but it has a 21 gig update when you try and install it.
Yes, it does.
I was like, well, I'm not doing that tonight. So I was playing that this morning. And
I know what I'm doing while I play Final Fantasy 14 later.
Yeah, Deus Ex and Doom did that to me. It's like, oh, I'm going to check this out. It's like, oh, 10 gig update. Oh, I'll see you later.
Yeah, and, I had to turn off automatic updates on Doom because it is just constantly... It's just devouring hard drive space.
Yeah,
especially if they're not. Seems like they're probably done adding single player stuff. Yeah, so you don't necessarily need it anymore.
The fourth DLC content for single player came out, so I think that's it for now.
Okay. Yeah, it's like there's an arcade mode in there now. Yeah. Things for that. Hmm. It's like, oh, you can stop updating now, id. as far as playing that game is real good.
Yes.
It has a sense of control, and they did it perfectly to update that game for modern conventions without taking away the speed and the hectic action that Doom is known for.
Yeah.
Sort of have stuff like, oh, here's mantling to climb up, things like that, but I keep hitting square to reload, and it's like, no, there's no reloading in this. You just have 20 shells that just keep going into your shotgun over and over again. I'm not too far into it. Pretty much for the point where they give you like little goals to do for extra upgrade stuff.
Yeah.
I think the last one was I had to find some secrets. And they do a pretty good job of hiding some of that stuff. I found like the little doll, Doom Guy doll.
Yeah.
The little Doom area where they have just the whole little secret area decked out in Doom textures.
Yeah.
Huh. It's like, that'd be awesome if you had a whole mode of just the whole game was like this.
Mm.
Of just old textures on everything to make it look like that.
I think they just added all the old textures to SnapMap, so I think you could probably do that.
Yeah, now there's some good stuff that can be made in SnapMap with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess somebody's already tried to remake Doom and Doom 2 and that.
Probably.
That would seem like the Mario 1-1 of the Doom stuff.
Yeah.
So far, really good. I just got killed right before we started the show. I was in this one area and just happened to be right next to a explosion tank.
Oh.
When one of the guys just started killing me. It's like, oh, that's good. And you see all your jibs flopping down right in front of the camera. Like, oh, that's pretty good stuff.
Kaboom!
And here's there's legs, there's a torso, and there's the helmet. Oh, that's a good one. So yeah, that's for as much as it does like the demon infestation stuff, which they ironically have their computer systems all set up for demonic invasions. Mm. Look, a demonic invasion in progress. Oh, thanks.
You guys for that.
Had all of your ducks in a row for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's nicely lighthearted for the whole demonic invasion stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And I like the finishing moves you can do on enemies.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that just constantly.
Yeah.
And doing it at different angles. Like, okay, I'm going to take pot shots with my shotgun. It's not a smart move, but he's going to be glowing, and I'm going to jump 30 feet in the air to get him.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that game's real good. Look forward to playing more of that. And how about you, Teresa?
I've been playing Civ 6 and managed to get through an entire game without without any interruptions except for sleep. I'm starting to feel a little more at home with it because, you know, there's a really big shift when you go from one to the other. They're always the same but different, kind of like the actress from Roseanne.
Hmm.
She's the same but different. So I'm liking it. I'm getting a little bit better with the religious battling and all that whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm still a little weak in the spy area, but I'm getting there. I had better luck this time. So I feel like I'm starting to be able to maybe move up a little bit more in my playing level. So I'm playing on Prince, which ain't great, but, you know, I'll get there. But it's fun, and I'm pissed that everything that I bought is now on sale. But what do you do?
Yeah.
But other than that, and like piddly mobile games, I've been playing a not so piddly mobile game. I'm still at it with Pokemon Go.
Yeah, there's quite a few people who still are. It seems like the people who have like kind of fallen off of it are people who weren't going to stick around anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So they've been adding stuff, haven't they?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had a couple of events, and I think that both of them were smashing successes, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Hmm.
Really enjoyed it, and I want them to do more. Like, if cool. They could do that one where buddy gets steps four times as often, that would be great. So maybe that will help me out, because I really want to evolve a few more Pokemon. But I went out yesterday looking for a Lapras and came back empty-handed again. So there's a city near me called Elgin, and people post that they're finding Lapras all over the place. And, you know, I was driving up and down the river and found nothing. Even got out and walked and froze and found nothing. Found a reindeer, though. Like, you know, real-life reindeer.
Actual reindeer.
Yeah, actual reindeer. You never know what you're going to find.
That's something, at least.
They were having a little festival downtown, so it's kind of neat. But yeah, no Lapras. No Lapras. And then I get online today, and somebody posted a picture where there were two of them that spawned. And I was like, I was just there 12 hours ago. But yeah, that's all I've actually been playing. Although I've thought about playing about 10 other games over the past week, but, I haven't gotten to it. So, but that's what Christmas break is for, right?
Right.
Yep.
Just get through your backlog folder.
Oh God.
Yeah, you get a couple weeks of breaks here, then they come back out again with more games.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then hopefully we have new games in our stockings on Christmas morning.
We can hope.
Yeah, although I sometimes think that people should just take a game off of our shelf that we've ignored and give it to us again for Christmas.
Rewrap it and give it.
Just figure out which ones are still wrapped and just take them out.
That would be Bravely Second for me.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be a bad one to get into during
Not
the holiday
at all.
Break.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that pretty much it for everybody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess we'll move on to, well, we could probably talk about Tuesday, which is a big day for Sony. And for, well, a lot of people in the gaming industry in general, because The Last Guardian is coming out, and that game has been in development forever.
Yep.
Not literally forever. I think Stone Tablets and The Last Guardian were in development at the same time. So.
And Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, so that's come out now, The Last Guardian, a week after.
Yeah, this is a better 1-2 punch of games that have been in development for a while than, say, Prey in Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
That wasn't a very good one.
Yeah.
Thud.
Well, Prey kind of fell off the
At least
radar.
Prey got a second shot.
Now it's coming back. Duke Nukem Forever, well, probably should have stayed in the... just
it's encroaching into other games now.
Yeah. So The Last Guardian is coming out on Tuesday. I'm very tempted to buy it right after the show.
Yeah, I got it pre-ordered.
Yeah, looks really, really freaking good. And, you know, for me, buying PlayStation 4 games is actually cheaper to buy it online. Because PSN doesn't charge GST.
Ah!
So, yeah.
Hey. And then you could also just start, like, a U.S. account. Get our prices compared to yours.
Yeah, well, if I figure an exchange rate, it's actually going to end up being about the same anyway.
Okay.
So
that's a wash.
Yeah, because, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 on in the U.S. store is $25, and it's $32 over here, so that's, you know, exactly adjusted for the exchange.
Okay. So, yeah, I get The Last Guardian for about $42, $43.
Oh, nice.
I used a gift certificate with it.
Ah.
And the 20% off for Gamers Club Unlocked. I also had enough points for another $5 off, so.
Yeah.
It's all coming up, Milhouse.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more about that game after it comes out. I know Brandon will be playing it extensively this week. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to see how it actually turned out, because from what we're seeing, it looks really good, but whether it's actually going to play, well, we'll find out. Yeah. That's a thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So Final Fantasy 15 came out, as we've been mentioning, and it seems like the reviews are kind of, sort of positive mostly, except for a few places.
I felt what Glixel had to say was pretty well in touch with my own thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I watched and read the GameSpot review, and it's like, they gave it an 8. And their points were kind of interesting in that they said, these characters aren't really very interesting, but if you stick with it and finish the game, then it opens up and there's a lot more fun stuff.
Sorry, but...
Wait, whoa, no, wait. I think you're missing the point of an RPG here.
Yeah.
I don't want to tolerate the characters. I want to be engrossed. And Final Fantasy 15 is kind of missing that for me.
Can I read a little something that one of my high school friends, Aaron Grief, wrote about the Final Fantasy characters?
Sure.
Because it hits home for me a little bit. He says, I can't stand the Final Fantasy games ever since they started making the male characters scrawny little pretty boys. I mean, every single one of them. I wouldn't mind if they were wizards or some shit, but they got this guy who looks to be all of 90 pounds... And if you put 50 pounds of rocks in his pockets and he's swinging a sword the size of a car door. Like, that does kind of sum it up.
Thanks, Nomura.
Yeah.
That really does.
Yeah. And, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what it is about Final Fantasy 15 that bugs me so much. And I finally managed to nail it down.
What is it?
You know, this is a world where... You've got airships, you've got cars, you've got firearms, and yet most of the time they're battling with swords for some ridiculous reason.
I think one of them has a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also takes pictures while he's doing that too.
Yeah, you take. Yeah, that's another thing. It's driving around with these guys that are taking selfies most of the time. So it's like, what it basically boils down for me is that this world has a whole lot of elements that exist for the sake of existing, and they don't really mesh in any fluid way. It doesn't feel like a cohesive world. It's just kind of a bunch of things thrown together, and it just does not appeal to me. So,
yeah. You know, I could see that because they've got diverse stuff. You know, you drive a car, you drive a plane, and it doesn't feel Final Fantasy-ish. It feels like they're trying to borrow what they like from their favorite games and smash them all into one. And there you go. We're going to release it. We'll get somebody from every market now.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. And yet it is working because they're hitting the exact demographic that they're going after, which is millennials. And it's all our fault, really.
I think it might be.
Because we as parents didn't raise our kids properly. We didn't give them a good appreciation for what JRPGs are about. That's kicking back, chilling on the sofa after a hard day's work, and just losing yourself in that world without too much stress.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, yeah, we're not getting that with Final Fantasy XV, but that's not what the millennials want. They want, you know, ADD, action. It's like, if you tried to follow the battles in Final Fantasy XV, it's like, what in the actual hell is going on? It's just complete chaos. So, and that's why I'm not buying Final Fantasy XV. So that.
Yeah.
I love to get it, but it's come out like right at the wrong time. Like here, right after Black Friday, where I've got a bunch of other games I can play. The one other game I'd like to play that's coming out is coming out in a couple days.
Yeah.
It's like no money or time for this game.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, too. You could buy so many better games with that money.
Yeah.
Shit, you could probably go to your own shelf and...
There's still better games on the shelf that you haven't played.
I've got every other Final Fantasy game I can play.
Yeah. Except for 13, that's not that great, but...
Yeah, but I still got it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's probably. At least better than 15.
Mm. That's the only one that I've ever sold.
I probably have a copy of that somewhere around here. But so anyway, I guess we'll get on to Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus, because we're right at the beginning of the month, and that means a new list of games that will be freely available to download. So, hey, want to tell us about them, Chris?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of good games across both of these, if you've already taken a look at them. For PlayStation Plus, for the PS4, you get Invisible Ink and Stories, Path of Destinies, which I know you particularly endorse.
Yeah, that's gonna be on my game of the year list.
Yep. And also for PS4 there are Color Guardians. It's crossed by with the Vita version as well, so you get that too. That's sort of a lane platformer kind of rhythm thing.
Okay.
So you kind of hit buttons to switch lanes to get around obstacles. It's okay. I own that already when it got cheap. The other one is Tiny Troopers Joint Ops. This is a mobile game that got ported to PS4, PS3, and Vita. It's stupid.
Okay.
It's a bad, like, dual stick shooter.
Yeah.
Sort of takes after, like, Middle East modern military sort of thing. It's just bad. Control's bad, like you'd expect a dual stick shooter on a phone would control.
Yeah.
Except there's no excuse when you got two sticks. Let's see, what else? Hypervoid for the PS3. They missed on this one because the PS4 version is a PSVR game.
Yeah.
So they could have added their first VR game to the lineup, but seems like it's probably a decent shooter. I think it's supposed to be kind of res-ish kind of shooter.
Yeah.
The other game for the Vita is VVV, VVV. Yeah, fantastic platformer.
Hmm.
That is, like if you had Metroid, but it was all about platforming.
Yeah.
Essentially, you just reverse gravity with each jump.
Yep.
And it is based on, I think, like Commodore 64 Intellivision kind of graphics.
Yeah.
So a lot of, like, weird designed enemies that you're trying to avoid and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That game's real good. People that like platformers should check that out. Yeah, there are some secrets in there that will make you want to throw your Vita into a lake. And that's really great for this time of year because it's going to be a frozen lake. So instead of shorting it out with water, it's just going to fall apart. Yeah, so on Xbox Live Games with Gold, let's see, as of now, December 1st, you should be able to get Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition, which is a great game. It's the last version that I don't have.
Yeah.
So I own all of it, all of the DLC. I've beaten the game once. So, good, there's another version I can play for a few hours and then think about beating while there's other games I should be trying to play. The other one you get is the Xbox 360 game Outland, which is also a really good game. That is from Housemarque. And it is sort of a platformer action game, but has Ikaruga's sort of color switching mechanics.
Yeah.
So you can sort of negate one set of bullets that are coming at you by switching colors and then back and forth as it goes. That game's real good. Sort of confusing fashion, Outlast is also available for Xbox One.
Yeah.
They have two games that are almost the same name.
Just one letter.
Yeah, two letters. Outlast, Outland.
Hmm.
Outlast is a horror game, very much in the Amnesia style.
Yeah.
The sequel's coming out, I think, sometime next year. Seems like they missed an opportunity to get this out in October for free download. So if you want to snuggle up in the snow and scare yourself to shit, that's a good game to get.
Yeah.
It's out on December 16th, and also on December 16th is Burnout Paradise.
Hmm.
The Xbox 360 version is getting BC support and all that.
Yeah.
And that game is fantastic. Still probably one of the best racing games out there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the BC support for it is already out. It's just...
Yeah.
It's going to be free in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Hmm. So, yeah.
So some real good games for both.
Yeah. Damn good list. I'm liking Microsoft's approach to this now that they've got 360 games that are, you know, playable on the Xbox One. That's really, you're going to get a good slate of games every month. So, it's good stuff. Okay. So, I guess we'll move on. Stardew Valley. It's a game that has gotten a lot of praise. It's been making, like, all of the money on the PC. It's now going to be coming out on Xbox One and PS4 and Wii U. December 13th on PS4 and Xbox One and Wii U on the 14th.
Well, so, no. PS4 on the 13th, Xbox One on the 14th.
No, Wii
U. The Wii U version's been canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're moving it to Switch. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know,
I can read.
Yeah, this Wii U thing's on the way out. No sense continuing putting time into that version.
Yeah.
When they get on the Switch early and make a lot more money. Title.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, anybody picking up the console version?
I might, depending on... I guess it's going to be $10 like the PC version.
Yeah.
Well, if I don't buy it on PC before it comes out on the Switch, I'll probably get it on the Switch.
Yeah. I could see that game being a very, very good game for the Switch.
Yeah.
So you can bring it around with you.
You know, if I end up getting a job and being out of the house a lot, I probably would just buy it for the Switch, even if I had it on console or PC.
Yeah.
Take it with you.
Hell yeah.
Just keep the addiction with you at all times, and you'll never have to go without.
Excuse me, I need a bathroom break.
Not like Civ, where you can't be at your PC all the time.
Yeah. Yes, you can, you dude. It's called Chrome Remote Desktop.
You've been researching that.
Maybe.
Team viewers. Play Civilization all of the time.
I'm going to be like the worst worker ever.
I'm not even going the other route of saying I'll get Civ Revolution 2 on the phone.
Mm. Yeah, I got it.
Play this other version.
Yeah.
Just go for the full version at all times.
Yeah, so Stardew Valley's coming out. I didn't pick it up on the PC, so I might be looking into this one.
Yep.
I'll check that out. An interesting story from Atlas. Pat, you put this on here, so you might as well talk us through it. Patrick?
This was actually something that happened right around the time of last week's episode. Naoto Hirooka sat down with MCV and did an interview, and he had some pretty interesting insights to share about Atlas's business as a whole and the state of the market for his genre, and just the gaming landscape in general. And some of the observations were kind of troubling, that there was sort of a decline of otaku culture going on, which it makes me personally uncomfortable on several levels. But he was also quick to point out that the hardcore gamers have not gone away at all.
Yeah.
And the audience that Atlas had initially targeted in Japan, in all actuality, exists worldwide.
Yeah.
So there's nothing they really need to reach out to as far as capturing a global audience, because they've already got it.
Yeah, so it's like, I can kind of see that, you know, the decline of otaku culture, as he's calling it. I wouldn't really call it that. I'd just say it's kind of moved globally now.
Yeah.
It might be waning in Japan a little bit, but it's still seems to be alive and well everywhere else. Just go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, and they brought up, you know, how France in particular still holds a strong interest in Japanese culture. So, yeah. You're onto something there, yeah.
Yeah.
Comic-Cons. Woohoo.
Luckily, we're able to get into those now, so that's fun.
Yeah.
And I just wish that Suits from Square Enix were reading that, because it really flies in the face of everything they've talked about in the way of capturing, quote-unquote, a global audience.
Yeah. I think Square Enix is a company that has a huge identity crisis that they're really going to need to sort out, or they're going to end up in a really, really bad way in about a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, they're the kind of models that they're approaching right now just doesn't really seem sustainable. The mobile stuff that they're doing seems to fly pretty well in Japan, and that's, you know, goes along with that. Mobile is kind of dominant over there, as opposed to consoles that are not quite as popular as it used to be. So, but over here, mobile is kind of seen, I don't know, kind of like as an afterthought.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's why people are looking at Super Mario Run's $10 price tag and going, what?
Yeah.
But over in Japan, they're totally happy to pay 20 bucks for a game on their phones. It's just the platform. Yeah. Oh, I beat the crap out of that discussion, didn't I?
Well, the hint for Square Enix is to put all their eggs in the Tokyo RPG Factory basket and just let them save the company.
Those will be games that won't require huge budgets, but will probably make back a good amount of money.
Yeah, they'll be high yield.
Yeah. And high value too, because you know, you get a lot of gameplay for your 20-30 bucks. See, okay. So one of the big events this week was the Game Awards. Jeff Keighley seems to be hell bent on actually making this a legitimate awards show, as opposed to the farcity that it was when it was on Spike TV.
Yeah.
seems to be doing an okay job so far. Except for a couple of instances here and there, like, you know, last year or the... Was it last year or the year before when they had PewDiePie just...
It was the year before.
The year before, yeah. It's like, yeah. So we won't do that. But yeah, the results are in. Overwatch cleaned up, as probably should have expected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got best esports game, multiplayer game, best game direction, and game of the year.
Yeah. So...
Uncharted 4 won a couple things. Narrative, best performance.
Yeah. Uncharted 4 is the best performance win. Kind of, well, considering like 3 of the 5 nominees were from Uncharted 4, I figure it was going to have a pretty good shot.
As like three games had all 5 or 6 of the nominees. It was like both people from Firewatch, the 3 main people from Uncharted 4. Then the main guy from Mafia 3.
Yeah, it was good. That Dragon Cancer won the Games for Impact Award, it looks like.
Yep, and the speech that the father in that game gave a really good emotional speech.
Hmm.
You could tell just when they went back to Jeff, like he probably wasn't ready to speak after that.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. You see people on the internet being typical shitheads.
Of course, because, yeah, we'll talk about more of the internet shit early a bit later when we talk about PSX. But, I'm just glad that, you know, people can make a game like this. He clearly made it, you know, as something for himself and his family to get through a very, yeah. very tough time. And a lot of other people are appreciating what he did. And,
which is nice, because when that game launched, it received a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this isn't a game. It's like, that's not the point.
Yeah. Game doesn't have to be all about shooty, shooty, bang, bang, guys. Bulletstorm, full clip edition, coming from People Can Fly. Looks like it's coming in April. April 7th, yep. 2017.
And published by Gearbox. Yeah, they're getting into the indie publishing game.
Yeah. This is going to be a good one to keep an eye on, because currently Bulletstorm on the PC is kind of broken and unplayable.
Yeah.
Thanks to games for Windows not working anymore. Mm. So for that reason alone, we'll be looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it's nice that the People Can Fly got the rights to that game back.
Yeah.
Because I haven't EA shooters. And Epic sort of being in charge of that.
Yeah.
It's good that they were able to get back the right to the work.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those shooters that's just absolutely worth looking at, because it's just completely and utterly insane.
Yep. And if you pre-order it, you get to play as Duke Nukem. That's a free DLC you get. Which they did all new voice work and all that.
Oh, actually, so got like, John St. John to do new voices. Nice.
Yeah, we recorded all the script and added new lines, all that sort of stuff. So it's the best 3D shooter that Duke has been in since Duke Nukem 3D.
Yeah, certainly wasn't his own game.
Nope.
This will probably be one of the last times we'll ever get to hear John St. John, because he's getting on in years.
Yeah.
What else did we see? Oh yeah, new Walking Dead.
Yeah, we got to see some gameplay of that, which looks really good.
Hmm.
And the cool thing is that they've overhauled the art style for that game. Instead of just being kind of simple character models and sort of had the flat shaded look, now they're actual like human beings looking with the nice cel shaded look to them. But other than that, they look like actual people now.
Hmm.
So like, oh, we're just doing the comic book thing because that saves us resources.
Yeah.
And, they showed a bit of Clementine's buddy, sort of his start. And along with that, they announced that when the season debuts, you're going to get the first 2 episodes right away.
Hmm.
So you get like a 2-part premiere.
Yeah.
which is an which awesome is way to do that.
The TV show does quite often, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Makes and, sense. Yeah, so that's the first two of the five episodes that'll be out. I think they're going to have a disc version in February, so I get the season pass with that.
Yeah.
I think also another cool thing they announced is they're working on announcing some ways to continue your saves from the previous seasons. Since now I think a lot of people have upgraded from Xbox 360 and PS3 to next consoles.
Yeah.
Trying to continue that stuff is not an easy thing.
No.
So they don't have a ton of details on this, but if you're new to the series, you'll be able to have like a tailored start just for that. But if you're trying to continue on, they'll have different options for being able to configure your own backstory.
Yeah.
Or being able to import the saves from previous platforms, which I imagine might be going through their Telltale network.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because the last few games you've had to log into an account to be able to do some of that stuff, so I think they'll be able to pull from that. Make it a lot easier than having to go re-download all that stuff and upload your save manually.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, if they if they basically unified all of the save state formats across all platforms, that's going to be a lot easier for them to work with, so instead of having different formats for every single platform. So.
Yep.
Have you played any of these recent Walking Dead games?
Oh, God, no. I'm a giant chicken. No.
Yeah, it's they're very kind of depressing. Yeah. But yeah. So it's great that this one is coming out right before Christmas. So just,
yep.
Just saying. Wow.
Yeah, we got Dead Rising 4 and this.
Yeah.
For Christmas time.
So
get your cookies and deal with zombies for a few hours. Yeah.
Zombies and human crisis for Christmas, which, you know, is kind of a pretty good description of Christmas at my house anyway, so whatever.
Yeah.
But in other Telltale news, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be coming out in 2017, it looks like.
Yep.
This is going to be super fun. Hopefully it'll tie it in with the movie that's going to be coming, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it's set in between. I'm trying to see what it says here. Just working with the good people at Telltale and Marvel. Yeah. Let's see, the first episode. Yeah, they're going to have a disc alongside that with the season pass. Then have the other four come out when they do.
Yeah, the question is, will we have potted Groot or will we have regrown Groot?
I don't know. Anyway. I know the little teaser they had just has the like Walkman zooming through space.
Yeah.
Playing a licensed song with the rad mix tape in there.
Yeah.
So also they got the
volume too.
Yep.
Also a lot of those soundtracks too.
Yep.
This I'm actually genuinely looking forward to. I'm not usually a huge fan of the episodic games, but I like Guardians of the Galaxy, so hey, I'll
have to pick it seems like it could go the way that their Tales from the Borderlands series did, which was just craziness. That's what Guardians of the Galaxy is.
Yeah, it's complete, like, utter insanity. And really good music.
Yep.
And a raccoon who gets way too emotional when he gets drunk. So there's that. Anyways. So, we also saw first gameplay trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yep.
Oh, boy. If Brendan was here, he'd be waxing poetic about this, but yeah, all I can say is, wow, this is looking really, really good. I will probably not play it, but it looks really, really good.
Yeah, you can see the Dragon Age Inquisition influence on this.
Yeah.
So having the nice open worlds instead of like Mass Effect 1, where it's just barren deserts, where you're just flying, driving around and oh, there's a sandworm monster over here.
Yeah.
And there's one of five buildings you can see on the planet. That's it.
Yeah. It's because we have a draw distance of approximately 8 feet. So.
Yeah. This looks like it's going to be a lot better. Some really cool stuff looking like what they're going to have for that. Spring 2017 is their still their date.
Yep. So that could be, May 31st. That's about the latest they could go and still be in spring, I think.
Yeah, probably March to May, somewhere around there.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't get delayed again, I think this will be a pretty good one for EA. I know a lot of people are waiting for this one.
Yep.
And it should be a pretty good showcase of the PS4 Pro. They're doing support for that out of the box. So
yep.
The PS4 is looking a little underpowered at this point. Gee, I wonder why. And we also saw Shovel Knight Spectre of Torment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is the new expansion that's coming out, I think, sometime this spring.
So it's what they're saying.
Yeah. And they have a nice 60 FPS HD trailer for that. And I think they're also going to release it as like a standalone thing.
Hmm.
I don't know how they're going to do that, but because it's supposed to be free for anybody that owns the original game. But it's also going to be an expansion update. They haven't been too clear about what they're all doing with that, but it's centered around the Spectre Knight, who has kind of a scythe attack.
Okay.
And the trailer just shows some really cool stuff going on with that. Especially some points where they kind of turn it into like a Game Boy, like monochromatic screen looking thing.
Mm.
And much like the Plague Knight, they redesign a lot of the levels and encounters and that to fit his abilities, which looks like you can use the scythe as like a double, triple jump sort of thing.
Yeah.
I saw that one part where he's going across a lava pit, and he's just like bam, 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 and finally he's landing.
Yeah.
Yep. It looks cool.
Yeah, this looks like the Devil May Cry of Shovel Knight, which is all melee crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Especially cool that sort of game can get the highlight at Game Awards.
Yeah.
You got, here's Telltale's newest licensed games and Mass Effect, and here's Shovel Knight.
You know what? If it couldn't, I don't think I'd want to be a gamer anymore.
Yeah. Game Awards is put together by Jeff Keighley, and we know he's a pretty decent guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have any spike people saying, we gotta get Sam Jackson on here.
Yeah. What else we see? We saw some gameplay footage for Prey, which is basically System Shock, except that this is not actually System Shock, the one that's being done by Ken Levine. This is a game that looks like System Shock, but isn't that.
Yep, this is, it looks like Dishonored's System Shock.
Yeah.
Which I knew that right away when you see him possess a cup. It just goes, gets through a little hole in a window and pops out on the other side to get whatever is on the other side, but it's like, that's a nice silly thing in this grim game.
Yeah.
You got lots of weird monsters you got to shoot and kill.
Yeah, it looks kind of interesting.
Yep.
I'm not sure it's really my type of game, but
yeah, it's a shame we never got the Prey 2 that we saw a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's sort of a bounty hunter game in what am I thinking of the movie? The Harrison Ford movie, sci-fi movie.
Yeah, Blade Runner.
No. Yeah. That's what it was, like Bounty Hunter, Blade Runner, but in the future with aliens and shit.
Hmm.
It's like, I don't know what the hell this has to do with the original game, but this is awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes, you just need to break from things.
Yeah. But Bethesda didn't like that, so now we got this.
Yeah. Whatever the heck this is, it'll probably still be good. Cause,
yeah.
And then we saw Kojima's Death Stranding again. As confusing as ever.
Yeah, you get to see who his new friends are, which is Guillermo del Toro. He makes an appearance.
Yeah.
As a weird-looking man with a baby in a jar.
Yeah.
I don't know how you describe that thing, but that's mostly it. Then Mads Mikkelsen shows up.
Yeah.
Looking like he's crying darkness.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You know, Kojima is like an evil genius. Because if you play those two trailers...
I wouldn't say he's like an evil genius.
No, he is an evil genius, yeah. Full stop. But yeah, if you play those trailers at the same time, like side by side, you're going to see some really, really, really weird shit. Like, for example, the scenes where you see the baby, the baby will be like teleporting from one frame to the other of the videos, and there's no way that's accidental.
Yeah, that's fucked up in a way that Kojima likes to do.
Yeah, he likes to mess with people's heads, and
this is him without restraints. This is what we get.
This is without the fetters of Konami on.
Get fucked up baby shit.
Yeah.
Well, the artificial womb thing that they have going on, that is fucked up.
And yet, totally, totally normal for Kojima, because he's done just about everything else.
Yeah, there's normal, and then there's Kojima normal.
Hmm. Yeah, so...
yeah. And the weird thing about that game is it's being made on the Horizon Zero Dawn engine.
Hmm.
So you think about what that game is. Like, this is what you give it, what you get if you give Kojima that engine.
Yeah.
Like, he ruins it for everybody else.
Nobody else could use it after that.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jeff Keighley was basically stuck it to Konami, and as did Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he just put a tweet that just says, fuck Konami.
Yep.
All caps. Not mincing his words.
Nope. Yeah,
he had a game lined up with them. Hashtag, yeah, he had PT lined up with him. He seemed excited about.
Yeah,
he's gonna finally get one game out there.
Yeah,
and yeah, the Jeff Keighley did a piece with Glixel.
Hmm.
They talked to him and revealed that for the last 6 months of the Phantom Pain's development, Kojima was sequestered in a separate room from the rest of his team. Not allowed to communicate with them except through circuits. And that makes it really impressive that the Phantom Pain was as good as it was.
Yeah. It just shows the amount of talent that they had on that team.
Yeah.
That Konami just pissed away.
Alienated.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fuck Konami.
Yeah.
Rocket League Sci-Fi Arena is coming soon.
Yeah, like, very much taking the piss out of Halo. Okay. If you look at that, if you look in the link, it's basically like an arena on a Halo type thing. The Sci-Fi City, it's really cool looking thing, and they have a new car that goes with it you can buy for $2. That also looks awesome. And they got a big update also coming alongside this. I think it's all coming out on the 7th. So it's Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, Wednesday.
And, they're going to add Steam Workshop support for the PC version, as well as customized training stuff.
Yeah.
So you can set up your own training scenarios and share them with the community.
Hmm.
And definitely, if you want to see some awesome people playing Rocket League, you watch that trailer.
Yeah.
The trailers keep getting better, and it's just some ridiculous stuff that's going on that trailer, and it's like they probably didn't have to do that 1,000 times to get them to do some of those moves.
Yeah,
I think they're also doing like arena preferences. You can say, yeah, when I'm matchmaking, please put me in arenas, like one of these 5 arenas or something like that.
Yeah,
which is cool because there's achievements and such tied to certain arenas. Mm. And instead of just playing matchmaking for hours, getting that as something of a little shortcut, which whatever, I'll keep playing Rocket League no matter what.
Once you put your finger on the scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes me wonder if Psyonix is aware of what they're about to unleash by adding Steam Workshop support to this game.
I'm sure they fully want all of the weird designs and cars and maps and all that.
Yeah, weird designs, gameplay modes. This game's going to blow up in a way that very few games do. Already Rocket League has some serious legs.
Yeah, they definitely have an article all about sort of map stuff, just showing people how they can make things. I think it's using Unreal Engine 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some cool stuff they're allowing people to do. So,
yeah.
Which makes it good that I own all three versions. I can just get whatever the hell's going on.
Yeah. Have you, like, for the hell of it, ever, like, calculated how much time you put across all three of them?
It's really hard because they don't have a pure, this is how much time you've had in it. So it's like, I just go look at my Steam listing, see how many hours it says there. Same on Xbox and PS4. I kind of have to go by how many matches I played. Sort of multiply it times 5, and that's partly there because there's also stopping time between goals and overtime and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I would imagine I'm at least 100 to 200 hours on that game. And that's why whenever they put out new stuff, I buy it. It's like, fuck yeah, I got all this time out of it.
Yeah.
You guys deserve, you know, $2 here and there.
Yeah, cool updates. And finally, two trailers for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, a setting trailer and a gameplay trailer. And they both look really good. So,
It was really weird watching Bill Trinan basically do a Let's Play in the middle of the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Especially since they die a few times. It's like, you guys had all the time you could to make this video. You could have just
done Well, let's be honest, play. They wouldn't have had any better luck letting Miyamoto play.
Yeah. Or Onuma. Yeah, good game. It's not going to be a Switch launch title, as we've found out already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, expect this probably about 6 months after launch. Looking very, very good. This is going to sell a whole bunch of Switches.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's going to be any uptick on Wii U, but probably not.
Well, they've got to stretch the system out a little longer now, so...
Well, I don't think they do. I think the Wii U version of Breath of the Wild falls off the release calendar.
Yeah, because they're already done making consoles.
Yeah.
So it's a limited-size audience that's going to get it.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So, we'll wait and see, but either way...
Imagine people are going to see the shiny new game and the shiny new console and be like, I'm going to get those two.
Yeah, all right. And that was the Game Awards, which was pretty stacked. There was a few other things here and there, but, you know, this was mostly the main ones.
Yep.
And then Saturday, PlayStation Experience, which, oh my god. Sony.
Still going on right now, technically.
Yeah, it's still going on right now, though the floor is open, you know. We're just going to talk about the stuff that they announced in that first day on the keynote and the end-arounds around there.
The news that kind of surrounded it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of most of it. Still not all of it.
Yeah.
This list is huge.
Yeah, this list is huge. I don't know if we're going to get through it. But yeah, they opened the show with Cold Open. It was Uncharted, The Lost Legacy. There was no Naughty Dog logos or anything. They just went straight into gameplay, and we had no idea what we were looking at.
It has like a woman in some sort of covered robe and all that.
Yeah.
It's like, is this Uncharted? This is probably Uncharted, but I'm not 100% sure.
That's not Nathan Drake.
The level's not falling apart as she's getting around.
Hmm. Yeah, she was in, looked like she was in India someplace.
But, maybe.
Hmm. Yeah, so that was the first instance of internet shittery that we saw.
Yeah, we saw at the end. It was Chloe from Uncharted 2 and 3 and Nadine from Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Sort of kicking ass at the end.
Yeah. So
there's your two protagonists.
Yeah, two main protagonists, both of which are female. And you can imagine the YouTube comments on that video.
Look at that.
Because they're horrible. But that's how they started the show, and then they announced a whole bunch of other stuff, like, let's see, Let It Die, which is free to play and available now. Lara Croft Go, which is available now.
Yep.
Am I the only one that finds it a little bit strange that a mobile game like that's called Lara Croft Go is now on a console that doesn't go anywhere? Just saying.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's just weird branding.
Yeah, it's weird branding. I think they should have just renamed it to Lara Croft Stay Here. But that's why I'm not a marketing person. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're still slacking off with the amount of time it takes to get these to the consoles.
Yeah.
I think it'd get a lot closer and you can capitalize better on, say, Rise of the Tomb Raider that just came out a few months ago.
Yeah, that.
Say the other one's Deus Ex. It's like, you just had Deus Ex released. You could have had that out as well alongside it.
Yeah. But they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Garou: Mark of the Wolves was also released on PS4 and Vita. Surgeon Simulator VR.
And that seems like a nice, stupid game to have on VR.
Because it's just beyond stupid with in 2D. So
yeah, yeah, so now you have better control over the arms.
Oh.
But now it's fun that when you pick up things,
no,
they exist in the way that you pick them up. So
no,
your hands don't form around the hammer that you're going to smash the guy's ribcage in with. It's still in like the weird fucked up orientation that as your hand meets it.
Yeah.
It's real fun.
I nearly blew chunks trying to watch. I couldn't even get through the 50 seconds of that video.
It's just
when they picked up the spleen or something and started tossing it, I was gone.
Yeah, it's like, nope.
Just noped right out of there.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of those games that's for everyone. It's not my cup of tea either, but
I don't know, man. It'd be kind of fun to eat, like, horrible food, go to the PlayStation Experience. You know where I'm going with this.
Well, they'd be replacing that VR headset pretty quickly.
Oh, God.
It would be nice if this version included the Trump stuff in there. As they released an update that basically made Trump one of the subjects you could form surgery on.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to come sooner or later. We're going to have to update that.
I've been waiting on that to come to console so I could play around with that.
Yeah.
It's like I already suck on the normal people. Trump just be like, yeah, here's a hammer to your head. Fuck you.
Maybe there'll be a tin of that Cheeto bronzer that's been circulating on the internet that we could put in there. Oh, maybe we could actually put an encyclopedia inside and sew them back up.
I don't think that would make them any smarter, though.
Make us feel better.
Yeah, true. So, with that, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 port. Just kind of came out of nowhere and said, hey, it's coming out today. Okay. And I bought it. Yeah, it's a native port. It's, like I said earlier in the show, handled by Capcom, it looks like. So.
They didn't really need to do much with it, to be fair.
No. It's, you know, they added some controls for the touchpad here and there, but, you know.
It's aged well.
Yeah. I didn't really need to touch it too much. That should also point out the Xbox One and PC versions are coming in March, so this is a timed exclusive for now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. King of Fighters 1.1, which we saw our first actual gameplay teaser trailer of.
Still looks really good.
Yep. Now looks better than it did. Because SNK has figured out how to do lighting. I'm guessing they found some extra headroom in the PS4 and decided to take advantage of it.
Or some new payroll in the budget.
Yeah. Yeah. Because detailing 50 models. Well, yeah, 50 models. And the backgrounds, it looks like, too. They got a little bit of some tweaking. So doesn't look like they're half-assing this. It's probably going to be a pretty significant download.
You don't see many games upgrading visuals, much less a fighting game.
Yeah.
We also have to worry about 60 FPS.
Yeah.
Probably a pretty good wave of balancing tweaks, too, coming.
Hmm.
Maybe something that would even rival 1.03.
Yeah. Expect that in January 2017. They didn't specify exactly when, but I'm going to guess the middle of the month.
Yeah.
And one of the games added to the building the list is Windjammers.
Okay.
Because, yeah. Well, I don't really know what you can say about this. This is a really, really cult classic game. Imagine, like, it's like Frisbee Pong, basically.
And this is a giant bomb meme that has infested Sony.
Yeah.
So it was them playing it and obsessing about it. They got Dave Lang on the matter, who's made a matter-of-fact announcement of this is never going to happen. Trying to acquire the licensing to be able to do it, they found problems. Obviously, Sony can grease the palms a lot better than they can.
Yeah.
And people probably, they got people to annoy the hell out of Gio Corsi and his building in the list hashtag. Now we got Windjammers coming to PS4 and Vita.
Yeah. And another thing that you might have noticed, the Vita still exists.
Yep.
Should point that out.
And Gio Corsi had a Vita theme with him.
Yeah.
He made sure to present it every time he announced something for Vita.
Yeah.
So much so that there's a Twitter account just for Gio Corsi's Vita.
Because, of course, there is. So, Windjammers. I want to say this is like a stupid game to put on the list, but actually, it's actually a really fun game. So, if they charge a couple of bucks for it, not overprice it, I'll probably end up picking it up. So, it was one of the better, more interesting Neo Geo games that I've played.
Yeah, it should be a good 10 or 15 bucks.
Yeah. That's probably worth it if they put online play in there.
Yeah, much cheaper than getting a Neo Geo and a copy of the game.
Yeah, because that game is actually kind of expensive.
Really?
Especially now that Giant Bomb made people more aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to be able to get like Tetris Battle Gaiden copies for decent prices.
Nope,
as soon as they play it, they all disappear.
Yeah, and then we saw Street Fighter V Season 2 announcement. So Season 1 has officially closed, and Season 2 is kicking off. December 20th, we'll start off with Akuma, and then five more characters to follow.
All newcomers.
Yeah.
Well, the exact wording that they used last night at Capcom Cup was five characters who are entirely, completely new to the Street Fighter universe.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this doesn't mean they're marching out the guest characters.
Oh,
because boy. that would annoy me to no end.
Yeah.
But,
we have a pretty good idea of what the second one is going to be.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of them, like as you mentioned, is probably a cat. We saw him a lot in the story mode.
Yeah. So, well, I thought he was the middle one, though. And then the fourth one I noticed might be Satsuki, one of the dolls.
Yeah.
That's where you're kind of pushing the definition of a new character because we've played as her already.
Yeah.
But, you know, that looked like a very real possibility.
Yeah.
Another speculation that's been going around is that this is going to introduce Street Fighter EX characters, which Street Fighter EX was not part of the Street Fighter universe, and that was a very kind of explicit thing that they've pointed out off and on over the years. In that case, you could say that fourth shadow could actually be Kairi.
Let's just hope that one of them is not Skullman, whatever the hell his name is.
Didn't look that way.
Yeah. We don't know what the other... Yeah, it looks like support for this game is still going to be continuing for a good long time. As said, it's going to be till at least 2020.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching this game evolve over time.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's building on a really good foundation, like I will still maintain. Just a few minutes ago, Combo Fiend put out a brief mission statement explaining some of the key points that they're going to be looking at in the way of the most meaningful changes for Season 2. And without going into the entire statement, I've put the link to it in the show notes. The three key points seem to be recovery after successful throws. This is kind of generally speaking, a throw should not leave you in range for a cross-up. And there are several in Street Fighter V that do.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's going to be looked at, and there's going to be, somehow they're going to put more real estate between you and your opponent after a throw.
Yeah.
Strong anti-air light attacks is the second item on the list. This is the anti-air jab that you might have been hearing people complain about in the last couple months.
Yeah.
I'm in full agreement about it. I'm old school. I've always felt that your best anti-airs should come from your list of special moves.
Yeah.
Not to say that you can never poke your way out of that kind of situation, but I don't want to go back to the days like hyper fighting where the Shoto standing medium kick was the god anti-air of the whole game.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm happy to see them on the list. And here's the interesting one out of all of it. Invincible Reversal Reliance.
Hmm.
Now, what this basically means is, the obvious one is people using Dragon Punch on Wake Up.
Yeah.
To get through possible meaty attacks and stuff. Or stuff akin to the Ken Flowchart meme that was going around when Vanilla Street Fighter 4 was out.
Yeah.
And that's not nearly as much of a problem now as it was back then, but it is still a thing.
Okay.
So it doesn't surprise me that this ended up on the list. And from accounts that I've heard from people who have been playing the Season 2 build at PlayStation Experience, the invincibility on Dragon Punches is gone.
Oof.
So, I don't know, it feels kind of like they slaughtered a sacred cow doing that. But we'll see where it leads, because I want to be optimistic, but at the same time, I think your reversals were like that for a reason.
Yeah.
You wanted to make people think twice before trying to set up trying to establish a meaty or, something like that to catch you on Wake Up. That was kind of the rock, paper, scissors dynamic.
Yeah.
And unless they're going to buff throws again, to be what they were in Street Fighter II, perhaps, then I can't see this being the solution that they want.
Hmm.
I'm willing to give it a try, but I think it's just going to have too many consequences that they didn't consider fully.
Yeah.
And at the very least, I'm going to have to go shopping for a new main, because just the way I play Ryu involves a lot of kind of sucker strategies, trying to get him to I won't say frame traps, because that's not quite what I do. But I definitely look to get people to flinch and take a jab dragon or something. So yeah. I don't know if I'm going to have to seriously reevaluate my character selection. Akuma's looking really good from what I've seen of the gameplay footage of him, so that might be a solution. But I don't know. I think this is going to have bigger consequences for Season 2 than anyone knows.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would, getting rid of that would cut down Wake Up options for a lot of characters. It's like, so basically you can just tech and not do anything, because that's pretty much what your best option would be, to just get away. Yeah, so. not good. So. And haven't we been here before?
Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, so you think they'd learn. Maybe they're just floating that change in there to see what people say about it, and then say, okay, let's not do that. So,
yeah. So get out your pitchforks now and let them know.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, that was, the Street Fighter V Season 2 announcements, but what else?
Should we talk about Capcom Cup itself?
Yeah, we could talk a little bit about that, because it was kind of crazy.
That was a fun watch, is what it was.
It was really dynamic. It's like you're seeing some of the top players getting taken out, and it's like, what? What's going on here?
You had Knuckledew winning it as Mika. Mm. You had all USA winners finals and grand finals.
Yeah.
Just a good mix of characters throughout. And that that always makes for an entertaining tournament. I was really hoping that that Kazunoko was going to run the gauntlet of Chun-Li players and actually make it into Grand Finals. That didn't happen. But at least it wasn't a Chun-Li player that took it all. So I'm pleased about that. Because I think when you have an undisputed number one character in the game, that's detrimental. Chun-Li was extremely well represented in the top eight. But it was a Mika player that ultimately won the tournament. So all bets are off, and we're not going to have this mass migration toward a consensus number one character. And I think that's going to make Street Fighter V healthy going into Season 2.
Yeah, it was a bit of Capcom Cup. I think the replay, you can catch that on YouTube now, so...
I think it's on ESPN2 sometime today.
Yeah, so if you may have already missed it. Yeah.
And that's also noteworthy because on the ESPN2 replay, there are going to be two more characters announced for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Which we're about to talk about, because that just got announced.
Yes.
The false rumors of Marvel vs. Capcom 4 turned out to not be quite so false, they just got the name wrong.
Yeah, well, they were false rumors, they were just pointing to something that was actually going to happen.
So, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, we got the trailer for it. A lot of interesting characters being shown right off the bat.
X, Captain Marvel, Ryu, Iron Man.
Yeah. I think I saw Sigma.
What looked like Sigma, yep. Yeah. People are speculating that it's some kind of hybridized Ultron Sigma.
Yeah.
Which would make sense for this game.
It's looking like Marvel. You can make of that what you will, but I'm expecting it to be just as crazy and over the top as Ultimate is. Clearly, they know the audience they're going after, and they're going to cater there to that.
I think it's actually being reeled in a little bit, but in a cool way. Assists are no longer a thing.
Oh, excellent.
So, those are gone. Third character also gone. It's 2-on-2, just like the CPS2 installments of the series. And it's using what they're calling a freeform tag combo system, which to me really says Tekken Tag Tournament. Which is kind of what we saw in the first gameplay trailer. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But it seems like they've found a way to make it work without making it be not Marvel.
It's still definitely Marvel. It just might be...
And Infinity Gems are back. From Marvel Super Heroes.
So they're tying it into the upcoming Avengers stuff that they're doing.
My theory is that they decided to bring the mechanic back because Marvel probably insisted on it as a condition of making the deal happen.
Maybe.
At least it seemed to be going all in on single player stuff here. They got the cinematic story mode they're going to have, as well as, they say, a variety of accessible single-player modes, including training, mission, and arcade modes.
So they're not...
not going to pull a Street Fighter V on this.
Keep in mind, this is Ryota Nizuma, not Yoshinori Ono.
Different styles.
Seems like they're not obsessed about esports, getting it out for something.
They don't have a timetable set, just 2017-ish.
Ranked and casual matches, leaderboards, online lobbies, spectator mode.
All stuff you expect.
Yeah, you expected them last time, too.
I expected them. Didn't.
Late 2017.
Late 2017. So it's going to miss Evo.
I'm sure it'll be there in a hell of a playable state, but it's not going to be part of the tournament.
Now they can hit every single convention. Here's two more characters. Here's two more.
Every time there's a major event, tournament.
Probably
start with final round.
Yeah.
They got like four or five packs as they can go through.
Yeah. pretty sure we'll be sick of hearing about Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite by the time it comes out, so, yeah.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope they don't overexpose it.
Yeah. We'll wait and see. What else have we got? Nier Automata. Saw more of that game, and it's still looking pretty badass.
Yeah, it comes out March 7th.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be just as crazy and dark as all of the other Nier games are.
Yeah, they got demos coming out pretty soon. No date on it, but they say soon.
Yeah.
They got a cool, they detailed the Day 1 edition in this blog post, and the PlayStation 4 version's getting... I guess you have bots that follow you around, something like that. And one of them has a PlayStation 1 skin.
PlayStation 1 following you around. Okay. Yeah. I'm all right with this.
Hey, right there's an image of it.
What I think would make a great pre-order bonus for this, or just some kind of throw-in, would be if they included a DLC copy of Nier Replicant. For the North American market.
Yeah.
Because there were actually two versions of Nier. There was Nier Gestalt, which is what we got.
Yeah.
And Nier Replicant, which was the PS3 version in Japan.
Yeah.
But it was both versions over here. And the only... It was probably the most cynical thing they could have possibly done. And yet there's some truth to it. But you... The only meaningful difference is that it had a different looking main character. And you can tell just by looking at the cover of Nier Gestalt, which is what we got over here, exactly what the marketing idea behind it was.
Yeah.
And it's just cynical as...
And they got a $190 special edition coming too. Oof. You get a figurine, steelbook case, hardback art book, 64 pages, a special collector's box, and 13 song soundtrack.
Yeah. Cool. Not bad.
Songs from both Nier and the new game.
Okay, here are the characters from the Japanese, or from the US/Japanese Xbox edition and the Japanese PS3 edition.
Okay.
It's about as cynical from a marketing perspective as you're going to get.
Yeah, let's appeal to as American as we can. Well, we'll see what they do there. But yeah, that was an announcement. You think we're coming close to the end of PSX? No, we still got a lot to cover.
Yeah.
It's not even halfway.
No, halfway. We got a couple of Yakuzas. Yakuza 6 coming later this year.
Yakuza 6 is next year. It's 2018.
2018,
there. Yeah, Yakuza 0 comes out in a few weeks, in January.
Kiwami is later this year, and then
that's the Yakuza remake 6, of the original Yakuza.
Yep. Yeah.
Which has a lot of stuff in it. The article says, it's like 1080p 60 FPS. They've done a lot of new audio stuff, new combat stuff, new stuff to screw around with. Like new hostesses, like a battle bug minigame thing.
Yeah.
Pockets,
basically,
like a car
if
racing.
You love Shenmue, this game is for you.
Yeah.
It's like, that game didn't have enough already.
Yeah.
It's just going to add more.
Huge.
30 minutes of new cutscenes.
Yeah. What they're not saying is it's just one cutscene.
No.
They wouldn't do that. It's not Kojima at all. Yeah. Good. Yakuza 0 is about to be out, isn't it?
Yeah, early January.
And that's your 80s one?
Yeah.
Yakuza 6 is the latest one.
Five. So
that's three Yakuza games coming out in the span of 2 years over here.
I fully support this.
Yeah.
They haven't brought over the old Samurai one, have they? That came out the early of the PS3.
No, it was Ryuga Gotoku Ishin, and it was a PS4 launch title in Japan. We have yet to hear anything about it pertaining to North America, and I think time's running out to announce a port.
Yeah.
If it hasn't already.
Yeah.
I just keep bugging Geo Corsi, we'll get it.
Eventually. Yeah. So
I'm too busy bugging him about Ridge Racers 2.
Yeah. or any Ridge everything. Racer.
He's building a list.
Yeah. Hey, you know what Sony really needs to do is just buy the Ridge Racer IP from Namco outright. Because they're not doing anything.
Well, they're starting to.
Yeah.
There's that shitty mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they're trying to show signs of life with it. So I think it's just a little early to pronounce the franchise dead.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Especially given what's been going on with Nintendo and Sega of late.
Yeah. Both of them are doing you know, arcade racer revivals.
Otherwise known as a Call to Arms.
Yeah. And next up we saw a game that was, well, we're really excited for.
Yeah.
Pyre from Supergiant Games.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were showing off some of the multiplayer stuff with the new trailer.
Yeah. Which looks just bananas. Looks kind of like RPG meets NBA Jam. I don't even know how to describe it, but
maybe American Gladiators.
Yeah.
The arena looks like that one with the different stations to grab balls.
Yeah.
You gotta take it to the other person's goal.
Yeah.
It's like the fantasy RPG version of that.
Yeah, but that's
I guess they got online and local multiplayer. You can do versus against bots.
Yeah.
And there's still a whole single-player campaign as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's looking really, really good. Don't know if... what was that?
Yeah, it seems very much informed by Greg Kasavin's love of Dota. You can very much see, like, lanes forming in some of this.
Yeah.
Stuff like that sort of strategy.
Yeah. But
obviously more user-friendly.
Yeah. I know I probably won't ever touch the multiplayer. I'm probably just going to be sticking to the single player on this one. Because, you know, primarily for me, that's how I play my games, just single player.
Yep.
So, have you had a look at Pyre at all? This looks like a game that you want to play.
No, I haven't actually looked at it yet.
Hmm. Yeah, it's definitely something. Art style is really, really slick. You know, Darren Korb is on point with his music. These guys are just getting better and better at doing what they do.
Yep. Back when they first released Bastion, I compared them to a young Atlas, and so far they've been exactly that.
Yeah.
That is a really unique art style.
Yeah, very, very strange concept, too, so...
Hmm.
Yeah, I still want them to do like a Let's Play style video, just show us like a whole battle or two.
Yeah.
Just let us get an idea of what all is going on here.
Yeah. With, I mean, the closest we've come to that so far was when Greg was on stream, on the PlayStation stream. He kind of explained what was going on, but you know, still couldn't get really grok it. Needs to, you know.
Seems to be one of those things that you have to experience for yourself to really get.
Yeah,
we'll see that as they get closer to release sometime in 2017.
Sometime in 2017, yeah. Well, Danganronpa V3, PS4, and Vita.
For those who like your extremely fucked up visual novels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of surprised they highlighted that on the stage, but hey. Sony.
That's part of what I say. E3 goes out and disappoints you, and then PlayStation Experience comes out and just makes it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could see they tasked you, of course, with dealing with all the Japanese games.
Yeah.
I would love that job.
Sony is actually publishing these, right? Isn't it? Aren't they?
I don't think so. I think it's NASA.
Okay.
NAS America.
Yeah, so that means that Sony themselves isn't actually making any more Vita games. They're just...
third-party relations.
Yeah,
they're killing it in that field.
Yeah, they got the first two coming to PS4, I think early 2017, so...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was what happened to PSP, and look how good that turned out.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, there's people still making it. And then what else do we see? Ni No Kuni 2. We got another look at that with some gameplay.
Still looks amazing.
Yeah, apart from those real-time battles, I'm not...
I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's an option to turn those off, but if not, well, I'll be out on this one.
Yeah, I'm sticking to my guns. I'm just not going to support an RPG franchise that starts out with a turn-based battle system and then moves to action later on.
Yeah.
I'll just, you know, action RPGs are already extremely well-served.
Yeah. Case in point, East Origin on PS4 and Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's coming soon.
Yes.
This will be... wonder if this is the start of basically all of those PC ports coming over to the PS4.
That would be great.
Yeah. I have to buy the
whole all of the Falcom stuff.
And Ease is kind of a weird, confusing kind of lineage of releases.
Yeah.
Because it's like Origin is what, the original game, or is this something separate?
No, Ease Origin is Ease Origin.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a separate a past thing. Arc. Yeah. Because I remember playing, I think, Ease 1 and 2.
Yeah.
On PSP. I was like, what the fuck are you bumping into people for? What the hell kind of ancient game is this? It's like nice and silly after being used to like every other game.
Yeah, I kind of called it the Slam Dance battle system. But...
it's like just being an asshole simulator. Just fuck you, I'm just going to bump into you until you die.
Well, if you pay close attention, you'll see that he is swinging his sword when he does that. It's just kind of a shout out to how you played the original Turbo Duo version.
Yeah.
I like my story better. Yeah. Just being the asshole just bumps into people and kills them.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we got that. We got to see that.
Yeah, it's February 21st.
Yeah, February 21st for, I think, you know, $25 looks like, but... could be wrong.
That's fair.
And then
comes in a little pricier than it came in on PC, but you won't regret it.
Yeah.
Especially now we're on the Sony stuff.
Yeah.
That wasn't even Sony. It's
just third parties we're talking about.
Well, Sony third party relations is a good department.
Yeah. Right. Definitely job security at this point. So what's on next, Machina?
Yeah, this is the new game from Housemarque. They've been teasing it as the Jarvis Project. Because it is a partnership with Eugene Jarvis, legendary arcade developer.
Yeah.
Creator of Defender, Robotron, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much on board with anything Housemarque wants to do from now on.
Yep. Very much this. It looks very much what that sort of partnership is.
Yeah.
It's very much dual-stick shooter, lightning, neon, all over the place.
Yeah,
crazinesses and also voxels.
Acid, so I'm okay.
Yeah,
with
coming
this.
Off of Alienation and Resogun, they're on point once more.
Yeah. Also goes to show that Eugene Jarvis is still very active in the industry.
Mm. Yep.
So good stuff. He hasn't lost his touch, looks like.
Yep.
And then. It'll be the show 17 with a retro mode.
Yeah, they showed a nice trailer right at the end. It all just turns into RBI baseball. It's like, what the hell's going on?
Hell yes.
It's like, well, you just killed RBI baseball, the real one.
Yeah, that's dead now. You
get that here now.
Yeah. So, I think that just kind of sold me a copy of MLB the Show, and I haven't bought a baseball game in, like, ever.
You're in for free.
Yeah.
Like, not just the retro mode, but MLB The Show. There's a reason why I, as not really much of a baseball guy, have been buying The Show every year since 12.
Yeah.
And it's probably the secret best sports franchise out there and gets no credit for it.
Between that and NHL, yes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you want to play, you know, a licensed MLB baseball game, it's your only option.
Yeah.
Well, there's RBI Baseball.
Like I said, if
it's released.
Like I said, if you want to play a licensed baseball game, it's your only option.
Yeah.
Because RBI Baseball.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're on Xbox.
Hmm.
And that's your only option.
Yeah.
And even then, you're going to get Super Mega Baseball.
Yeah.
To next year.
Yeah.
So you don't even need that for your arcade baseball fun.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Very of course cool they stuff. Do that with Ken Griffey Jr. on the cover, so it's like perfect mesh.
Yeah, because, he had one of the best, retro baseball games on the SNES, so.
And the best baseball player in the 90s.
Yeah. Kind of an icon.
Yep.
So, stuff there. And then, wipe out the Omega Collection.
Yes.
Which kind of came out of nowhere.
Yep.
But, it's...
this was the one where Sean Layden was wearing a Wipeout shirt. He's like, I didn't put this on for no reason.
Yeah.
Unlike before when he's had...
Had a crash shirt on. Yeah. Nothing happened.
Yeah, so this is basically all of what's in 2048. Because that one, they added the campaigns for... hold on a sec. My cursor's going nuts on the thing.
Yeah, I can see it bouncing around there from nowhere.
I'm clicking on this, trying to open it up, and it keeps opening the Crash Bandicoot. I was like, did I put the wrong link in here? So I'm like, I'm clicking on that, and it's like two down. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, 2048, they basically went nuts with the cross-play stuff, added the full campaigns for HD and Fury into that for free.
Yeah.
If you already own those. And so they're basically... making that package all amazing looking on PS4. It's going to have 26 tracks, 46 ships, 9 modes.
Yeah.
Just an insane amount of content. Yeah.
So are we taking this as a sign of life or no?
I'd say, yeah, there's probably signs of life there.
Yeah, at least a good start.
Yeah, because this isn't like 3 separate games. It's just all of the things in
one
it'll thing. Just have... probably 3 campaigns to choose from, work through, as well as all the multiplayer stuff you want.
Yeah. And they can probably, sell DLC in the form of, the previous Wipeout games campaigns.
Maybe.
Tracks,
XL.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is those Wipeout HD was essentially like a remaster of the PSP games.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird legacy of going through 3 or 4 different platforms up to PS4.
Wonder who's developing it.
I don't know. Probably one of their Europe developers. I don't know who, though.
Yeah. What's FireSprite doing these days?
I think they're doing their own thing.
It seems to be XDev who works with third parties in Europe.
Yeah.
That's what Housemarque goes through. So it might be... I don't know. I don't know who. I'd love to know who that is.
Yeah.
I don't think they had any logos or anything like that.
No, they just kind of showed the tracks and the cars and a bit of gameplay.
Yeah.
That's about it. So
let's continue the love fest for retro stuff.
Yeah. And speaking of, Crash Bandicoot The Insane Trilogy, which is the first 3 Crash games that kind of got announced at E3 last year.
Yeah, people are wondering what they're going to do with that. As far as remastering, remaking them, seems like they're remaking them.
Yeah, they're remade, new assets, in HD and 4K native on the PS4 Pro.
Yep.
They're looking good. And
yeah, it looks real good.
Yeah, they're not overcharging either, so that's another nice thing about this particular collection.
Yeah, all 3 games. Seems like they're going to have good stuff set up for checkpoints and save stuff to sort of overwrite what the original games had, which the first one especially was not a great setup for that.
No.
Unified menus, so you can just hop between them more easily. Time trials. And that's just what they talked about. They're supposedly going to add more, which is great.
I've got some developer information on Wipeout.
Yeah.
What's that?
So it's XDev, Epos Game Studios, and Clever Beans.
Okay.
So it's none of the folks who are involved with the original Wipeout, it looks like. But that doesn't mean they can't make a good game.
I'm hoping this means that eventually we're going to get Wipeout the Alpha Collection and just have the first 3 games HD remastered.
Maybe.
That would just be, take my money.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Clever Beans is the Wipeout. When Vikings Attack developer.
Okay.
So that's a weird choice,
but
I want to see who Epos is. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, it kind of does.
It stands for Entertainment Products of Sweden.
Oh.
They made Crash Commando for the PSN for PS3, and made Hustle Kings VR for PS4. Mm. So those are some good games as well. Those are former DICE people.
Mm.
So former Rally Sport Challenge people, you mean?
Mm. Maybe.
Well, also technically former Psygnosis people too.
Yeah, they were co-founders for DICE.
Mm.
So it's full circle.
Yeah.
And so some this is starting legacy to make stuff a lot there. More sense.
Yeah.
Like the About page for Clever Beans says, About the Beans. That's what they titled it.
About the Beans.
Well, no. I mean, the first time there was a huge split off from Psygnosis that you got a studio called Curly Monsters, so.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make it more simple. These guys on Clever Beans worked on Wipeout Pure.
Huh. Okay.
Juice 2, Warhammer 40K Kill Team.
Hmm.
Red Faction Battlegrounds, Spider-Man 3, Driver 3, and others.
Hmm.
Okay. Not great, but Wipeout is right there.
Yeah, yeah. Wipeout Pure wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Wasn't the greatest, but it wasn't bad either. So that's what we got there. Crash Bandicoot we kind of covered.
Yep.
And then they announced three more. This is the HD remaster section of the of the show. Parappa the Rapper. Being HD remastered, Locoroco, and Patapon.
I really like the look of Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah.
Because that's a game that, you look at it, it's pretty simple because it's 2D characters kind of animating like they're 3D characters.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is just make those really sharp designs, and that's what they've done.
Yeah.
They got a demo out now for that, so people should check that out.
Yeah. Still looks like it plays about the same, so
yeah.
You know, if you liked it originally, you're probably still gonna like it.
I think they added the ability for the controller to rumble in time with the music, so it's like a metronome.
Hmm.
Yeah, so to help people with their rhythm a little bit.
Yeah. As for the other ones, well, I never played Patapon or Locoroco because it's
Locoroco is a really good platformer.
Yeah.
That kind of has a bit of Katamari to it, where you're sort of picking up the other locos and your character gets bigger and sort of you use that to get through different sort of obstacles, or sometimes you have to break them up to get through different things. It's pretty good, and it's a really cute, and along the way they sing.
Yeah.
So it's some great music there for people that like their music. Definitely suggest looking that up on YouTube. And you will have it stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And
I'm actually looking forward to it because I was really, really kind of bummed that this only stayed on PSP because I couldn't play it.
Yeah. And Patapon is similar, and it's all about the music. It's a rhythm strategy RPG.
Yeah.
It's 2D, so you're controlling your troops with the drumming to the beats.
Hmm.
So you're essentially hitting the face buttons. And the different patterns you do tells them to march forward, to attack, move back, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And you can definitely rearrange your troops in specific orders to put your shield guys up front, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if these Locoroco and Patapon remasters include just the first game or all of the games. Because I think both of those had three games each.
Yeah. Well, so I'm guessing curious. If they're going to do it, they may as well just do them all. So
yeah.
Seems like, you know, that's kind of their MO at this point. Three games in the Crash Collection, three in the Wipeout. The Rapper only got one game, so.
Yep. Those games were Locoroco and Patapon were 2D.
There was Umjammer Lammy and there was Parappa 2 on the PS2.
Mm. Yeah. Parappa 2 is already out, so they don't necessarily need to do that.
Yeah.
But they could do Umjammer Lammy.
Yeah.
If that does well.
Yeah.
And Locoroco and Patapon looked great on the PSP and should look even better having a bigger canvas to display their art on.
Lots of very fun, quirky games to be looking forward to. And that's kind of speaks to Sony's diversity and the slate of stuff that they've got. It's
just ridiculous. Yeah. And it's cool that we're starting to see some PS1 remasters or remakes.
Yeah.
Seeing how people are actually tackling that stuff, because those games don't necessarily have the look to age well without doing a lot of visual work.
Yeah. Have you played any of these, Arisa? The original ones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played Umjammer Lammy and Parappa the Rapper. And I like both of them. Like Parappa more.
Well, Parappa is kind of iconic at this point. I mean, you know, he had a good shot of being a PlayStation mascot, but you know, didn't really work out for him.
No. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came at around the point where mascots were just starting to fade off. We got him going on there. What else? Oh, yeah, we talked about Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, which I talked about that at the top of the show. And then Knack 2. Nobody cared.
I'm looking forward to that. I've been playing the original on the PS4 Pro since they have an update for that. It's fun. Okay. It's an action game.
Yeah, it's a solid game. Now that I think about it, maybe on a PS4 Pro it actually might, you know, run properly, so it wouldn't be so, you know.
Yeah, you can choose between higher resolution or better frame rate. I think I chose frame rate.
Yeah, because so that game, it had issues on the PS4.
Yep, and they had a co-op for this, so you can play with a buddy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm willing to give Mark Cerny another go with this one.
I'm not sure he's in on this one. I think he's let Studio Japan take over it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he says, there's a quote in this article, says, I would love to keep working with the Knack brand. Definitely, there's a lot of unexplored there. I think anybody who's played the game would tell you that. Yeah. So I think he's sort of more focused on hardware support and all that.
Yeah, and finally, they closed the show with Naughty Dog's second project, The Last of Us Part 2. And with a trailer that just kind of gave me chills. You know, performance does matter, and this is spot on. We've watched this one.
Yep. It's 4 minutes of really well done just visual storytelling.
Yeah.
And also just having Ellie singing, as you can tell, she's gone through some shit.
Oh, yeah.
And now she wants to get revenge.
Yeah. Really would not want to be the person or persons that that she is upset with.
Yep.
Also kind of sets up a kind of role reversal where, you know, Ellie would be the main character and what was his name, Frank?
Joel.
Joel, yeah, would probably be the tag along because it looks like the direction you're going.
There are rumors that Joel is dead and he's just the figment of her imagination that's keeping her going, which is would be an interesting idea.
Yeah.
That she is that far off the edge.
You know, this is Naughty Dog, so, you know. Last of Us 2, that's how they close their events. And
They call that early game. It's really early and still looks amazing. People have been pouring through the footage.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you can see reflection of her fingers on the guitar. the guy that's walking in like pile of leaves, kicking the leaves around.
Yeah.
Blood is reflecting stuff.
Yeah.
That you don't necessarily expect it to. Like, this is just starting development on this.
Yeah. So we probably won't see it until like 2018 at the very least.
Yeah.
But you never know. Actually, no. I actually wouldn't want them to rush this game.
No,
The Last
they got
of Us was just so well received. I didn't even play it, and like this interests me.
Yep, and Uncharted 4, they've still got work on that to do.
Yeah,
so they finish up the Lost Legacy and more of the multiplayer stuff.
Yeah. So, so that was their show. Tired. Well, that was just the first day.
We skipped over a lot of it.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd still be here. So,
yeah.
You know, thoughts about what Sony's up to? You think they're going in a good direction here? Or?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they make you wonder why Nintendo and Microsoft aren't also holding their own fan events to get some easy PR wins with announcements for many of these types of things.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you why Nintendo doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Because they hate their fans.
All right.
Then I think meetups at the Nintendo World Store is enough.
Yeah. No, that doesn't really cut it.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder, though, if Sony is saving all of this stuff for PSX, you think maybe they'll just drop E3 altogether at some point? Because it doesn't really seem like E3 is quite as important to them anymore.
Last year it did.
Yeah? Like how?
Last year was the Last Guardian, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Shenmue 3 blowout.
Yeah, that was the year before. Or,
yeah, last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, the last 2015.
I was thinking this past show.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. This past show was really, really dumb.
I think I could be fine just having the various different shows just have a bunch of stuff to announce at each one.
Yeah.
Especially when they got the third-party support to enable them to just throw a bunch of stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah. I did want to mention also one game. We didn't cover it here, but we've talked about it at E3, this year's E3 show, and that was Absolver. It was that online multiplayer fighting game that looked like it had potential, but it was still rough around the edges. It seems to have kind of matured quite nicely.
Yep.
So we'll have to wait and see how that turns out and be able to download it and check it out. But yeah, it's looking interesting. So check that out. Head, yeah. You guys tired yet?
A little bit.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So yeah, that was our coverage of the Game Awards and Final Fantasy 15 and PSX and The Last Guardian launch coming soon. Yeah, I think we're going to call it a show for this week. Thanks you very much, Teresa, for sticking with us throughout this entire time. So, alrighty. So with that, I'm Filippo Danolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
We'll see you all next week when hopefully it's a little bit quieter.